Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman in St. Lucia, where the third and final test match will be taking place. The action getting underway on Saturday, and if the local cabbies are to be believed, a bumper crowd expected to cheer on the West Indies side. You cannot move for people wanting to talk cricket here, with the home fans jubilant at how well this series has gone.
It's nice to see the West Indies doing so well. We've already won the series. It's nice to see we have a nice pace attack. As the old days, we have the likes of Jason Holder doing so well, and this is what we like in the Caribbean, where we have a good pace attack and we have the batsmen to back that up.
But for England, it's about rebuilding and getting back to the basics, which they'd hoped has started to serve them well.
I think I'll try and ramp up the pace, be something a little bit different. It's hard for them when you're getting bowled out and you're straight back in the field and you've got to do things again, but wait and see. I'm in a good place, so if they do decide to change the bowling lineup, then I'll be ready.
England's Mark Wood there, and you can hear more from him on the show, as well as a bit of Goffey and Steve Harmison. And if you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe to your favourite podcast app and stay up to date with all the news from England's tour of the Caribbean. You're listening to Following On. Well, we've arrived in St. Lucia on the next stop of this merry-go-round around some beautiful Caribbean islands, and we're staying at the Windjammer, or at least some of us are, because Steve Harmison, who joins me on the show today, wanted to swap hotels with me. I'm not going to say the place where you're staying at, but he fancied mixing it with the lads so we could have more company at the bar, shall we say. Good decision, Steve?
No, not a good decision. It was interesting in my room last night. I felt as I was right on the corner of a Formula One racetrack where they were going up the hill. But no, it's a lovely place, this Windjammer. We might be swapping back, but no. It's just a fantastic island, beautiful island. But I think the Barmy Army are going to be in tow, and I think they're staying in our hotel. So it could be a lively week.
Well, it's always a lively week when Harmy's around and Goffey as well. But Goffey's family is arriving this week, as is Matt Pryor. So I'm expecting a little bit more of a relaxed fare off air anyway. Anything but relaxed, the England cricket team. It's a beautiful setting here. But what's it like to be on a tour when you've lost and you've got to continue turning up, as it were? You know, people say there's no such thing as a dead rubber. That's an argument for another day, but you know, with the series lost and the tour still continuing on for a bit, how do you get about that mentally, I suppose?
Well, you're playing for England. It's as simple as that. We talk about joking and laughing and carry on about hotels and being in nice places, but you know, the main priority of being on these islands is to play cricket for England. It's still the same. There's no extra value or devalue in test wickets, no extra devalue in test runs, and within, you know, two more test matches the Ashes are here, so you know, boys will be playing for not only their places. They've obviously tried to put a few things right. Well, they've got it horribly wrong so far. So yes, dead rubbers, whatever you want to call them, at the end of the day, the test runs, the test wickets, the test caps. And for me, there's no devalue in that. You might not feel great going into it because you've lost the series, but at the end of the day, you know, when the umpire says play for the first time, 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, you are switched on because you're wearing the Three Lions and you've got to value that place, because there's a lot of people who would like to be in your shoes. So that's what England will be thinking. That's what they should be thinking. And, you know, fingers crossed that they turn up this time, because I think in the two test matches, they've really struggled to sort of switch on and stay switched on for large passages of the test match, and that's why they're 2-0 down.
Plenty to think of there. Harmy caught up with an old friend of his, actually, Mark Wood, who's in the reckoning for a position in the final 11. Changes are expected, and I'm going to ask Harmy what 11 he will pick, or would pick, bearing in mind he hasn't seen the pitch yet, for St Lucia. We are hearing it could be a bit more batting friendly. But let's hear an interview that took place yesterday between Harmy and his old mate Mark Wood.
Thinking back, we were in the car going home from the test match, and I think the air of shell shock around the TalkSport team was evident. And Matt Prior, who's probably the most recent out of the England dressing room, said how much the dressing room would be hurting, and the feeling of, you know, the feeling of hurt would be so much inside that dressing room.
It was, to be honest, everyone was really disappointed. I think after the first test, we wanted to bounce back. Often, I think during the last few years under Trevor, we've sort of had a good game, then a bad game. We've always bounced back after that bad game to win the next one. So I think two sort of bad defeats, and the dressing room was really quiet after that game. And you could see that, I mean, from I wasn't playing, so you're not connected as much to the match, but I could see that a lot of the lads had looked a little bit worn down, just with the fact that they're obviously trying their best, that the preparing really well, would do the right things off the field, and it was just a really hard defeat to take, I guess, especially when it was a want to decide the series. If they won, obviously the clincher series, so they just played better than us.
And looking forward, because it's better to look, always better to look forward. You, Mark Wood, I was with you when you got the call about coming out here to the West Indies. How do you feel your preparation is, and where you are at now leading into what is, you know, the third test match?
Yeah, I feel ready to go. Obviously, I was a little bit behind when I got to Barbados, because all the lads had done practice matches and prepared. So I feel like I've sort of caught up now, and I've been training well in the nets. It's pretty hard to judge where you're at totally, because you're 12th man. You do a little bit in the nets. You know, it's like you're not getting that match practice. But before Christmas, I felt really good with the England A side. And taking a lot of confidence on that, and I'm really enjoying my cricket at the minute. So I'm working on a new skill with Chris Silverwood as well. So all in all, it's going quite well.
And about that skill, you must have, I from a fast bowling point of view, you know, I've been enjoying the way the fast bowlers of the West Indies have bowled. You sat and you've watched. How's Mark Wood going to attempt to use his skills in the third test match if he's selected, and what have you learned by watching these four fast bowlers bowl on what have been very, very good surfaces for quick bowling?
I think their attack is very balanced in a way that you've got a guy that comes in and tries to bowl thunderbolts around your head, you've got another guy that'll nibble it around, but he's always attacking the stumps, and then you've got who unfortunately he's not going to play, but Jason Holder, a guy that's big and not necessarily quick, but he always asks questions. I think looking at sort of my bowling out here, Roach is a small guy as well, and he's always making people play on and around off stump with the odd short ball. So I think looking at the way that he's gone about, he hasn't necessarily tried to swing the ball miles, he's just tried to ask plenty of questions, and if he's getting any movement, then that's it, then he's in the right sort of area. So I've been working with Spoons, Chris Silverwood, sorry, on a ball that nips back, like a wobble sort of seam, something that I've not naturally been able to do very well, but it's been coming out better and better this trip. Whether I feel fully confident to use it straight away, I don't know, but it's something that's a work in progress.
You said that with a wry smile on your face there. Work in progress. And Jason Holder missing, and you know, what does England make of that situation? Should the team be punished? Should the captain be punished? It is a difficult one to punish one person when you're all as a team, you know, slow on the over it.
Yeah, I think Rudy, obviously if it was the other way around, I think Rudy's quite tries to get the lads round and stuff like that, because he's very aware of that. I think it's quite harsh on, personally I think it's harsh, I don't know if it's the feeling of the England side, but I think it's harsh to leave it when it's a 3-day test match for a guy to be done for slow over rate. If it had been 5 days, I would have thought maybe, but for 3 days when your team's on top and you're trying to win a test match and win a series, an iconic series for them, so I think it's a little bit harsh, if I'm honest.
I'm just laughing because there's a little bit of Ashton Twang came in there. It wasn't the usual. And yeah, looking forward, I think when you did come out here, I think looking forward to yourself, did you feel before you got that call and you weren't selected for the West Indies coming out here, did you think you were being pigeonholed as a one-day specialist?
No, really, I just don't think I merited being here. I think they'd done so well over a period, the test side, with Sam Curran had come in, Ollie Stone had come in, so those guys ahead of us in the queue, and it's just the way it is. But I feel like because I did well on the Lions tour, I merited my place being the next guy in. It was probably between me and Jamie Porter, and with Stoney being injured, it was probably my sort of style that was like for like with Stoney, so... I feel for a change, I wasn't picked on potential or what I could do. Because I'd done well when I was away with the England Lions, I was picked on merit for the next guy off the rank. So now I feel ready to go now. I've been training hard. I wasn't particularly disappointed not to be picked up. I know I've been in the one-day team for a while, but I just think the test side have been so balanced and had done so well lately that I didn't deserve to be there.
And now, moving forward, you know, I know you'd be desperate to play, but what sort of skills do you think you can bring to this side if you get selected for St Lucia?
Well, I think I'll have to try and ramp up the pace, be something a little bit different. Obviously, I'm a little bit shorter than most of the guys as well, so I can be a bit more skiddy. I think it's just a different type of ball. I might balance the attack a little bit differently, I don't know. I think it'd be... We're talking about changing me playing, but it would be pretty harsh on the bowlers when it's the bowlers v batters here. Like, but it's the batters that are not getting the runs. It would be pretty harsh to change the bowling attack when I feel like they're always back in the field straight away. I mean, in the bowlers' union there, like, but it's hard for them when you're getting bowled out and you're straight back in the field and you've got to do things again. But wait and see. I'm in a good place, so if they do decide to change the bowling lineup, then I'll be ready.
Good tourist. That's always a cliche, isn't it? But he does sound like he's a good tourist.
Yeah, he's a good tourist. He's somebody who enjoys. I think we've all seen on the TV footage when he gave Keaton Jennings a little bit of a fright when he was running up behind him. And that's what good people off the field can do to people who are having a trying time. People are having a disappointing time. But also, when things aren't going well for you as a team, you need people in the dressing room just to liven you up. We're fortunate. We've got the master. We've got Darren Goff, who moans a bit, but he's a good tourist and he's a good guy to be around. So, you know, that is what Mark is going to give the England cricket team. And fingers crossed, he'll get a game in this test match, because it is batter-friendly and it is a little bit flatter. I cannot see them taking all the pace out of the wicket because of their fast bowling unit, even though without Jason Holder. So if that's the case, if it's flatter and it's still got a bit of pace in, probably going to need that extra bit of oomph that England need, and Mark will give them that.
Okay, I don't want an explanation why, and I want 11 names, but starting from 1 through to 11, who would you pick, bearing in mind you haven't seen the pitch yet, but if it is going to be a little flatter, who would you pick for England to take on West Indies in St Lucia in the third test match?
Well, you say about the pitch, was also one big key component with the selection, and that's Ben Folkes. I'll go as though Ben Folkes isn't going to be fit, because if you sustain a hand injury not long to go in between test matches, then I'd pick a team without Ben Folkes unless he is 100% fit. So mine would be, we haven't got any choices because we've got no other batters out here, it would be Burns, Jennings, Denley, Root, Bairstow, Stokes, Butler, Ali at 8, Wood at 9, Broad and Anderson, 10 and 11.
Interesting, because the thing that leaps out from that, and I understand all of that, I can see why Wokes wouldn't come in, because there is possibly questions over his fitness. England have got no choice if Folkes doesn't play. They have to bring Jennings back. But for me, the question is, doesn't it confuse matters somewhat? Although Denley bats at 3... in county cricket, and Jennings bats as an opener in county cricket, you've just said to Jennings he's not your opener, and you've just said to Denley you are the opener. To twist it around if Folkes is out, that would just confuse things even further, wouldn't it?
It would, but you know, try and tell you, you can't predict injuries in your selection for test matches. You know, you left Keaton Jennings out with only one option on the tour, and that was Joe Denley. there was a lot of questions, who would go and open? Johnny Bairstow does it in one day cricket. But there was nobody that was standing out, say, open a baton when Jennings was left out. Now we're in the same boat again. We have only got one batsman that we potentially could pick. That is Keaton Jennings, because of if Folks does miss. What I would add is, if Folks doesn't miss out, I'm going to move him to seven instead of eight, because I think he should bat seven as a specialist wicketkeeper batsman. But that's another story again. If Jennings comes back in, he comes back in as an opening batsman. He is an opening batsman. He opens in first-class cricket. And Joe Denley is more comfortable batting at number three. And I think it would make sense, all that, if you're going to go back to Jennings, if you have to go back to Jennings because Folks is injured, it would be people playing in their recognised spots.
Well, there you have it. It'll be fascinating to see. We're 24 hours out from having our first glimpse of the pitch. We will be at the cricket ground tomorrow on tomorrow's show. So we will report from there, and we will hear from an England player as well. So it'll be interesting to see who they put up. Goffey is... and has been and will be broadcasting Drive throughout his time over in the Caribbean. He's set up just to the left of me for Drive today, and he caught up with one of the locals.
Hi, so we arrived late last night from Antigua. England are 2-0 down in the series. They're having an absolute shocker. But the good news is we are now at my favourite island, St Lucia, an island I've been before, and I'm going to catch up with Jason Charles. Jason, what's your title here at the Windjammer?
I'm the assistant hotel controller at the resort. Nice having you here again. I remember you visiting here about 10 years ago. You made the press, you made the paper, you took a picture with our GM. I remember speaking to you in the lobby where you explained to me about your stress fracture. You were not actively playing at the time. Yeah, you were here with family and friends. Yeah.
I was a nice guy though, wasn't I?
Yeah, you were. Still are.
And what about you? You're a cricket fan, yeah?
Yes, cricket fan from day one. It's nice to see the West Indies doing so well. We've already won the series. It's nice to see we have a nice pace attack. As the old days, we have the likes of Jason Holder doing so well. Sadly, he is not going to play the next match due to, the slow over rate. It's questionable, right? But it's nice to see cricket in the Caribbean, and it's nice to see cricket at home, and we're doing so well. So we're expecting a good turnout on Friday, or Saturday, is it? Saturday, where we'll try to win it 3-0.
But the good thing for West Indies, I mean, for a long time now, I mean, you've had some very talented players, but you keep losing them to some of these tournaments around the world. Yes. But what we see now is a West Indies side that have played with real togetherness, with real determination. And you've got four fast bowlers. It's like almost a flashback from the 1970s and 80s.
Yes, like I said, when you remember the likes of Curtly Ambrose, Courtney Walsh, and them doing well with the pace attack. And this is what we like in the Caribbean, where we have a good pace attack and we have the batsmen to back that up. So we were liking all of that, and then we hope we could continue. Yes, you said that we have been failing where we have the good players going out to those tournaments like the IPL, the Bangladesh League, and all of those leagues. But it's nice that you have some young guys who are passionate about Test cricket, and then they will do well for our cricket in the Caribbean, and then we could look to move from there and then go up in the Test rankings, or one day for that matter.
I mean, when you come to the West Indies many, many years ago, for many years, West Indian cricket was about Jamaica, was about Trinidad, was about Barbados, was about Antigua. But now, St Lucia has created a nice kind of cricket family, hasn't it? It's got that lovely stadium now, the Darren Sammy Stadium, and St Lucia Zooks, or the Stars, I think they're now called. Yes, so, is cricket building in St Lucia?
Yes, cricket has been building due to the... you find that because of the T20, you find a lot of younger people coming to cricket because it's a lot shorter as opposed to a whole day at the stadium. To get new people, you would have to get their interest. You wouldn't find somebody coming to want to stay for the entire day. And with the likes of us having our first player, Darren Sammy, on the side, captaining and doing so well to win the first, two T20 titles, you find that a lot of people have an interest in cricket, even so much so that we had packed crowds for the women's T20 last year. It was very great.
This has been the Following On podcast, and on tomorrow's show, well, it will come from the Darren Sammy Cricket Ground in St Lucia, and you will hear from one of the England team ahead of the third test, which you can follow live and exclusive on TalkSport 2. To never miss an episode, be sure to subscribe either on Apple Podcasts or your favourite podcast app. See you tomorrow.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.